I wanted to talk to you real quick about Empty Faces. It's this paranormal investigation delivered right to your doorstep each month. From the creators of Hunt a Killer, these guys have reimagined the art of storytelling yet again, and drop you right in the middle of a paranormal investigation, for you to discover a universe and find answers to the unexplained. You join by visiting emptyfaces.com and applying for membership. They're growing so fast they've limited their membership to 500 each week. If you're accepted, you'll receive an email with a private link to complete your registration. From there, a package arrives on your doorstep each month, filled with physical items and correspondence that have to be decoded, deciphered, and investigated to unravel the story. And there's forums, secret Facebook groups, podcasts, and live videos to help you through your sleuthing. They've been featured in BuzzFeed, Fast Company, hell, the editors at Bustle are writing weekly about their journey, and it's because Empty Faces is building this cult-like community around their interactive investigation. I can't recommend this membership enough, and if investigating isn't your thing, you probably know someone who would love this as a gift. To help support our show, they've offered a 10% discount for our listeners, which is tracked to this message. Use the code JIM and get 10% off. That's JIM, J-I-M, for 10% off your first month. And if serial killers are more your thing, check out huntakiller.com and use the same discount code, JIM. So head on over to emptyfaces.com and register now. Tell them Euphemet sent you. Sometimes I feel possessed by the past, by love, by ideas, by lineage. How much control do we really have over our lives? So many choices are made for us. We are haunted by the things around us, by objects, space and time, by what is in our blood and where it all came from. We can't grow younger, we have little control, but we can enjoy this, we can submit, we can find power in all that we've lost, and grow into it. This is Euphemet, I'm Jim Perry. On this edition, a family story, a love story, VHS camcorders, and the demon next door. After this. It's very important here at Euphemet that we build a community around this show and around these stories. It really helps us connect with each other in a more intimate way. And one of the things that can help us get there is if you go take our survey on euphemet.com, the insight from this allows us to make the show much, much better and gives you a chance to shape how this show sounds and feels. So just look for the top banner at euphemet.com and let's keep searching together.
Okay, so my dad bought this house in the 70s. We're in Eagle Rock, California. This is weird. Before we start again. No. Okay. Okay, so my dad bought this house in the 70s. He met my mom here in Eagle Rock and been living here ever since. Yeah, I know. It's really cute. Actually, it's a little too cute. My dad was someone who would sit on the porch and give away grapefruit from a grapefruit tree just so he could, like, talk to everyone in the neighborhood. And one day I remember he got mad because this lady came and took all his grapefruit, and then he didn't have an excuse to, like, talk to people. So he liked talking to people. He liked writing down the stories of everything that happened in his life. He documented things meticulously, like books he's read, music, events that have happened, things that have happened in the neighborhood, on the street, interactions with neighbors. Yeah, no, it's almost to a ridiculous amount. And I didn't appreciate it until he passed away. So my dad passed away about 3-4 weeks ago. So very, very recently. So we've just begun to go through his things, barely, like we've just started. But through going through his things, we came across one notebook titled The Exorcism. So, of course, me and my sisters had to open it up, and with the book was a CD. And once I saw that, it brought me back to a place that was about 4 years ago. My dad called me up. He just sort of said, like, you know, me and your mom were up all night last night, and your mom's pretty freaked out. He said that he wanted me to come by and pick up this CD, and that, you know, things were a little crazy over at the house. And that's all he said. I remember that was all that was said. And at this time, my husband worked the night job, so I was all alone. I was completely by myself, probably 8 or 9 at night. I popped this thing into my computer. The opening is, okay, let's see. So as it starts playing, what you see is what looks like someone holding a very shaky camera, like the Blair Witch Project, which would be my dad. And he's kind of getting into the bushes where the fence is by my neighbor's house, and he's zooming in on their window. I thought my dad was going senile and, like, had sent me a DVD of someone walking. He had accidentally turned
camcorder.
He had accidentally turned the camcorder on. And, you know, because at first you can't really even see what it is. It's just maybe someone walking, you hear crickets, it's dark, it's pitch black. You don't really know what you're looking at. And I think I thought he was lost his mind. I thought he was going senile.
Did you really? Because you haven't told me that.
Well, I didn't know what I was looking at. I think the moment that I realized what was going on was when what I could only describe as a person in the deep throes of something that I cannot put a name to. I don't know what, I'm really at a loss for words, because I think that's the part that's the scariest about it, is that the sounds that were coming out of that window did not sound like a human being was making those sounds. It didn't sound human. It didn't sound human. It sounded like a cat dying. You could hear someone chanting. You can hear someone speaking in tongues. The sounds for a rational person, for someone who likes to think that they're a rational person, sounded so scary. And the fact that I was scared made me kind of question everything. And it kind of brought up these things like, what do I believe? Like, do I believe in this stuff? And what's scarier, the fact that I'm questioning what I believe in, or the fact that the people who are doing this really believe in what's happening? You can't not get goosebumps listening to it. I don't care. I don't care who you are, what you believe in. When you hear something like that, you get goosebumps.
Exorcist over there.
So when my dad, about 3 in the morning, when he decided to call the cops, because I think he felt at that point the voices were getting loud enough, and he didn't know. He kind of felt like he had to make an executive decision on the well-being of whoever was in that house. And I think it was 3 in the morning and my mom had to work and she was getting sick. And my dad was like, you know what? I'm calling in a noise complaint. And when the cops came over, they knocked on their door and they came back afterwards and told my dad that there was a priest and there was a girl and one other guy over there. And they were all soaking wet. And they had this woman in the bathtub and they were performing an exorcism on her in the bathtub. And the police officer said they had never seen anything like that before. And they couldn't do anything except say, keep it down. They asked if everyone there was okay, if the woman was okay, if she was in distress. And she said she wasn't. Which, someone who's having an exorcism, let's talk about that for a second.
Hold on, I'm sorry. The cops talked to the girl who's getting exercise.
So this is like, yeah, I'm okay. Okay, let me go back on that topic, because I feel like this is where fantasy and my dad's stories. Okay, this is where we need to get the notebook.
Let's get the notebook
because this is how my dad tells the story. So if you come over here, and so like I said, we're going through my dad's things, so everything's in piles, and so here we are, exorcism, 7/22/2011, and it starts off pretty normal, until,
normal?
Yeah, I should clarify, normal for my dad.
The first
one. Okay, so it says exorcism, the date 7/22/2011. It says, I made a police. Oh my gosh, Dad, I can't read your handwriting. I made it a policy many, many years ago to never interrupt an exorcism. Okay, so I should just stop here. My dad had a sense of humor. He had a sense of humor.
No, he was a
character. He really was.
Oh.
Which is why, okay, so I should back up. I don't think a lot of people's natural reaction would be to, like, document it to this extent.
Yeah.
So I can keep going. That is why I called the LAPD a couple of nights ago to do my dirty work. Part 1, 12 midnight to 12:50 a.m. Wife and I are sleeping in bed. Window open about 6 inches. A woman begins screeching. A guttural sound, and then it would go quiet. And then I could hear water as if someone was being dunked in the bathtub. There would be a low growl sometimes after the dunk. Something about being scared. He was scared. I was scared at coming upon a creature. He's talking about getting goosebumps, which is interesting to me because it's weird hearing about how he felt about it. Because I think, like, you know, he's my dad, you know, he's never scared of anything. And the fact that he's writing about getting goosebumps and, like, thinking that this was, like, a really scary thing And also him being like an atheist. I mean, this is something that he felt very strongly about. He doesn't believe in that kind of thing. So he talks here about more about to the woman saying push harder, something about the demons and the spirits leaving the woman. I thought to myself, fuck this shit. And I called 911. Dad. Okay, so my dad still has a sense of humor. Oh my gosh, Dad. He was witty. He was really witty. He was definitely the kind of guy who would, from an early age, would take you everywhere and show you anything and everything. He never stopped learning himself. There was always something, some movie, some book, some art show. You know, he was sick for about 3 years, and then in that entire time, he never stopped. You know, people get sick, and they kind of get sick. He was sick, but he never stopped. I mean, if he couldn't read, then he was gonna, like, draw, and if he couldn't draw, then he was gonna talk to you, and if he couldn't talk to you, he was gonna show you a picture, you know, like, there was, come hell or high water, like, he was gonna interact with, like, the world, like, something, you know.
When did he get sick, and when did you find out about it?
So, my father had been diagnosed with a degenerate liver disease and was going to need a liver transplant. This was a year after this whole exorcism thing kind of had happened to our family. He was on the list, and we thought we were going to get him a liver transplant. And it wasn't until Halloween 2014 when we got the bad news that he was going to die. Being a caregiver for someone, you definitely kind of start to feel like you're living in your own personal horror movie. You know, there's lots of blood and pain and screaming and horrible moments that are really hard to erase from your memory. He was trying to breathe and unfortunately was hemorrhaging. He was bleeding out of his nose and his mouth and his eyes. And at this point, he had had too many blood transfusions to sort of count. And I remember holding his hand and watching him kind of struggling to stay and trying to sort of help him go. And in some ways, I kind of wished I wasn't there because I think he didn't want to go because me and my sisters were in the room. And I think that he felt like he wasn't done sort of being there for us. And I think for a father, that has to be really difficult. I think one of the hardest things for me was the next day going through his phone. Me and my dad had a routine where, you know, when he's in the hospital, I would go and stay with him. And for some reason on that particular day, I had decided not to go, which was unusual because I pretty religiously would be there. That morning, he must have had a sense that something was going on, and he had texted me for me to come down. And what I anticipated happened was that he wasn't feeling well, and he kind of goes in and out of sort of being aware and not aware, and he didn't hit send. So there was this like long unsent message from earlier that day before he went into shock, asking me to come down to the hospital and to see him and to come talk to him. And that was crushing. I think the thing that was the most heartbreaking was that I wonder if he I wonder if he thought that I didn't come. And I think that these thoughts, you start replaying. It's like when you get in a car accident, you just kind of start replaying, like, well, what if I left 5 minutes earlier? What if he had sent this text message? Or like, what if I had done this? What if I had done that? And you're kind of haunted by these moments, and it's sort of up to you to sort of tell your narrative and to come to terms with these really hard, big topics. And so this has probably been the first week that I've actually been able to sort of like process, like even begin to process, because I've just been taking care of stuff. And to even like really start to think about what even happened, which is interesting how we ended up here talking about it. Because, you know, in the process of doing all this is when I came across that notebook, and you just, it really puts you in a place of like, there has not been a time in my life, and probably because, again, I'm 29, I haven't had anyone super close to me pass away. What do you believe? You know, do you believe in these things? Do you believe in exorcisms? Do you believe in an afterlife? Did that woman believe that she had the devil in her? Like, you know, like, did my dad believe what he was seeing was real? Did I believe what I was hearing was real all those years ago? You know? And I don't have the answer to that. And that's a really weird place to be, to actually be in a place where you're looking and thinking about topics where you don't really have the answer to.
The story you just heard was produced by James Kim and Robert Garova, and this concludes this edition of Euphemet. Thank you for listening. Now it's your time to be a part of this. Take part in our survey at euphemet.com, and while you're at it, join the Society of Euphemet group on Facebook to keep connected. Make sure to follow us at Euphemet all across social media. This has been Euphemet, and I'm Jim Perry. Until next time, keep looking up. Hey, I wanted to remind you guys about Empty Faces. It's the paranormal investigation game delivered right to your doorstep each month. From the creators of Hunt a Killer, these guys have really reimagined the art of storytelling yet again with this, and drop you right in the middle of a paranormal investigation. They've been featured in BuzzFeed, Fast Company. The editors at Bustle are just writing about them weekly. And it's because Empty Faces is building this cult-like community around interactive investigation. There's forums, secret Facebook groups, podcasts, and live videos to help you through your sleuthing. I can't recommend a membership enough. And if investigating isn't your thing, you probably know someone who does love it. This is a perfect gift opportunity. So to help support the show, they've offered a 10% discount code for our listeners, which is tracked to this message. Use the code JIM, J-I-M, and get 10% off. And plus, maybe serial killers are more your thing. Check out huntakiller.com and use the same discount code JIM, 10% off. So head on over to emptyfaces.com and register now. Tell them that we sent you. Happy sleuthing.